Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of Global Gaming Business, and this week we feature an interview with Representative John Porter, who has been Nevada's 3rd District Congressman since it was formed in 2003. Porter has been serving the public as an elected official for more than 20 years. He has been mayor of Boulder City, Nevada, and has also served in the state Senate. Along with other Nevada representatives and members of the House from other states, he serves on the gaming caucus that looks out for the gaming industry in Congress. He talks about tribal gaming, internet gambling, and issues important to the Nevada gaming industry. He spoke with me at his offices in Washington, D.C. in early February. Congressman John Porter, thanks for joining us on the Global Gaming Business Podcast. It's great to see you, and thanks for giving us the time here on Capitol Hill
to
discuss what's going on in your office here. As you know, we cover the gaming industry, and there's a lot of things at the federal level that we're interested in. There used to be a gaming caucus that Senator Ensign started, I think, when he was in Congress in the House of Representatives. Is that still active right now?
Yeah, there still is a caucus. Congresswoman Shelley Berkley and Frank Lobiondo, and a few others, of course, including my office, are engaged. We really get engaged when there's key issues before Congress. We've faced serious setback with the Katrina and what happened to the industry and some of the tax proposals. Mm-hmm. So we geared up. So we see each other most every day, but when there's a crisis, we certainly gear up even more so. But there is. And gaming now is most every state.
Yes, absolutely.
Reform. So it's very important. But we also find, and I'll use the Katrina as an example, there's a lot of members of Congress that have never voted on a gaming issue.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So when things come around that have gaming attached, some, especially some of the more conservative members, really are nervous and need a lot of educating.
Yes.
And in some cases, a lot of hand-holding to explain. Like there's a big actually hearing today happening regarding some tribal gaming in Michigan that impact gaming across the country.
Well, as tragic as Katrina was, I think it shows what gaming can do when really able to put all its forces to bear. The recovery of the Gulf Coast has really been driven by the gaming industry.
Phenomenal. And, one of the first folks that I saw was Gary Loveman, on national television, helping, with Harrah's and helping the employees and raising funds. And also put a spotlight, and we're one of the largest employers, in the Gulf states, in Mississippi and Louisiana. And we were some of the first companies, our companies, to step up and help those that needed help the most. So it's a real compliment. And, the industry really doesn't get credit for what it does in communities, especially in Nevada, but across the country.
Yeah, no question. Well, you mentioned Indian gaming, and I think that's an issue that's on really on the federal level right now. That there's a lot of discussions, about revisiting the IGRA bill that passed 20 years ago this year, as a matter of fact. Are you in favor of looking at that again, or do you think it's working the way it was supposed to?
Today is an example, the hearing, and again, it has to do with some properties in Michigan. I think we should always be reviewing, looking at it, and what was happening in this particular hearing is may well take away the state's ability to make a decision. We have a few members of Congress that, in spite of the fact that Michigan voters are opposed, they decided to bring it for Congress to make a decision, which would change the whole process. I think it should be state regulated. Yep. I think states should make a decision. Mm-hmm. So it should be reviewed, and I'm, of course, not very supportive of reservation shopping. But I understand, there are tribes that are doing a tremendous job. Mm-hmm. They treat their customers well. They're professional, and I'm I'm pleased that it's been successful, but I'm very concerned about the shopping. I don't think that necessarily is a good thing.
Well, there was a recent BIA decision just a couple of weeks ago that really put an end to that off-reservation shopping by I think, at least a dozen tribes, if not two dozen. I think they have to revisit the other dozen. But do you think that's appropriate?
Well, let's use the Nevada example. We have the toughest law enforcement in the world. Mm-hmm. And I've been in Nevada 30 years, been involved from convention authority to special events, been involved for the better part of my life. But one thing about Nevada is you just don't go out and get a gaming license.
Right.
And, our history was such, it's a little clouded early on, as history has shown. But today it is so tough.
Yes.
We want to make sure only the best with law enforcement looking and reviewing, the Gaming Control Board, and to make sure that they're all legitimate business people. And I would encourage that, whether it be BIA or any other agency, that they follow the model of Nevada.
Yeah,
it works.
Yeah,
it's successful.
Okay. A few years ago, when the Democrats were in control of Congress, there was a consideration of a federal excise tax on gaming. And now that the Democrats are back in control, have you heard any discussion of that at any point?
Well, I think our industry is supported in a pretty bipartisan manner, but this Congress right now is looking to raise the largest tax increase, I think, in the history of the country, $200 or $300 billion increase.
Yeah.
So I think that all businesses should be wary and be very cautious, and I think that we have proven as a state of Nevada the success of regulating it. By the state and by taxing it by state, that it's successful. I think that it's not a role of the federal government, and we're going to do everything we can to prevent that from happening.
Another federal issue that the industry is looking at is online gaming. And I think you're one of the congressmen who has co-sponsored a bill to create a federal panel to study that. Is that right?
Yes, Roger. We know it's first. Guesstimates, 12, $15 billion a year industry. And we want to make sure that it's done properly and to make sure that there's proper oversight. And I want to make sure we do it properly. So I've supported and sponsored since I've been here legislation with Congressman Shelley Berkley to provide it, a study so we can find out the facts. It's happening.
Sure, it's happening.
And we want to make sure there's not abuse happening.
Right.
And I think that this is a good way to do it.
Do you approach it, the fact that it is happening, and there's really not a lot we can do to keep it from happening, so we might as well control it and regulate it?
Well,
I wouldn't
say that we can't do anything, but I know that as a representative from Nevada, we're proud of who we are as a state and are proud of our industry and the employees that make it what it is.
Right.
I just want to make sure that there's not abuses happening. And it's very easy to take advantage of people when there's no oversight and no regulation. So I think we need to find out what needs to happen.
Sure. And again, do you view that as a state's rights issue rather than a federal government issue?
Well, I think it should be determined by the states. But I also am realist that there's $12 billion happening, and I want to make sure that it's being done properly.
Barney Frank has introduced a bill that would exempt poker from the online gaming bans that have been ongoing here. Do you support something like that?
Hold this a second.
Okay.
Which bill did I sign?
Last question, then.
One thing about Nevada, if our properties, cause or get into trouble anywhere in the world, there's a lot at stake.
Yes, absolutely.
Because of our oversight and our laws in Nevada, and I think it's again an example of how you can do it right. And they know that if they don't want to cause problems at home. Mm-hmm. And that's why they're so successful.
Okay. Barney Frank has introduced a bill that would exempt poker from online gaming, from the online gaming bans. Do you support that, and are there things that you're doing to make that go forward?
I actually don't, but I support the Wexler bill.
That
provides a carve-out for professionals.
Okay.
But in the big picture, I think we need to do the study and find out exactly what needs to happen.
Right.
And again, I'm supporting the Wexler right now, but not the other.
And by professionals, you mean the skill games?
That's correct.
Such as poker and some of the other
exactly.
games.
Exactly.
Okay. You're up for election again this year, and rumor has it that the Democrats have targeted you as one of the vulnerable seats in Nevada.
Not a rumor, by the way.
Okay. I just wanted to downplay it a little
That's
bit.
That's okay.
But do you believe that the Democrats are wielding more power in your district than they have in the past, and how would you evaluate the upcoming race?
Well, one thing about my House seat, it was drawn with the census in the early 2000, and it was really created to be a pretty evenly split district of Democrats and Republicans. And we're the fastest growing district in the country.
Right.
Somewhere, in the state we have 4,000 or 5,000. I probably a good half of those moving in the district. So you add to that the fact that there is always a power struggle in Washington. I am a target and will always be a target, but I'm proud of my service. I served as mayor of Boulder City and a councilman for 10 years and was in the state Senate. But from travel and tour, I was on the Convention Authority Board for 4 years and was president of Las Vegas Events. We do the National Finals Radio.
Right.
So I'm proud of my service, but I know that I'll always be a target.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know that I've worked hard for the employees of the gaming industry and for the industry to make sure we have a vibrant economy. But I suspect, yes, not a rumor, because they're very, very public. That I am one of their targets, but at the end of the day, I'm convinced that the voter will make the right decision and vote for me.
Okay, I want to talk about some Nevada issues that you may or may not have any role in, but I think some of your opinions are going to be interesting. For instance, the teachers union has proposed a 3-point raise in the gaming tax, which I think amounts to a 44% raise. As a matter of fact, where do you stand on that? How do you feel that it should be approached?
Well, first, we need to spend more on education.
Mm-hmm.
We need to find some additional revenues to support education, especially Nevada is unique because of our growth, and we need 2.5 new schools a month. And I also know that gaming right now is paying a good 60%+ of our state budget.
Right.
I feel that gaming and the business community will come up with a solution. And I know that the gaming will pay more, but they want to make sure that it's fair and other industries share in that. But I don't think the way to do it is through a ballot initiative. Mm-hmm. I think that there are other ways to do it. I believe in the legislative process.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm convinced that the gaming industry wants to help and wants to do as much as it can. But we have to also keep in mind that we're a very competitive industry, and especially with the economy the way it is today. And any increase in taxes are passed on to our visitors. And with a reduction, and right now we're already facing some challenges with the economy, passing on right now that via that through the gaming increase, I question is the right way to do it. But again, I'm confident the industry wants to help find a solution, and I feel that they will find a way working with the business community to find additional resources.
Yeah, and no one denies that we need to spend more on education, but I think this isn't really the way to do it. And the competition, of course, we just saw the bill pass in California yesterday. There's going to be at least 6 new casinos with 5,000 slot machines each.
We worry about our families and our kids, and we want to go to work. And a lot of times, we're not looking exactly what's happening around us.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the competition from California has always been a grave concern. Now, I'm also proud of our community. We've been very resilient. We've lived through lots of challenges. Mm-hmm. And we go back in the '80s. We revenues were soft. Interest rates were 15%. We had labor problems on the strip with the properties. We worked that out, and we've come back stronger from the '80s. We then entered, of course, the Gulf War, and we had challenges in the early '90s. And even back a little bit further with the MGM fire, look at what we faced. We were concerned we were going to be out of business, but yet we've come back with the safest and best properties in the world. Same with our economy. And then taking it a step further, I remember when we were going to build Disneyland type mm-hmm. properties, and we started, a few did, and we realized really quickly that, well, it worked, but it didn't pay any bills.
Yeah, right.
So we were resilient. And my point is, you move even to 9/11, mm-hmm. when you'd look outside, there wasn't a plane in the sky. Each time, whether it be economic driven or a terrorist attack on our country, our community has come back stronger, and we're smarter. We worried about Atlantic City, one of your old haunts. Great competition mm-hmm. for us. And we were worried. Mm-hmm. So guess what? We work smarter and harder.
Right.
And I suspect that we're going to have some challenges right now in the economy. Now is not the time, to send customers to some other country charging via taxes.
Well, you mentioned the growth of Nevada, and it's been growing so fast that it's become something of a problem. Do you believe that there should be some sort of control over where, when, and how the growth is contained here?
You mean regarding the industry?
No,
or just
regarding the communities in general in Southern Nevada.
I think the way you properly plan growth is through planning and zoning through your local governments.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Nevada's done a just tremendous job mm-hmm. of with infrastructure. Of course, there are days when we're sitting on the highway and we're working on additional transportation challenges. But we have something unique to the world, and that's part of what has also helped fund our quality of life. And that people want to enjoy our community from the temperatures, to going and getting a reasonable meal at mm-hmm. a first-class establishment in Las Vegas. But I think that we're up for the challenge of growth, and I don't think it should be done, through political measures other than planning and zoning. You mm-hmm. have the proper amount of water, you have the proper amount of streets and highways and schools,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's how you handle growth.
Okay. You mentioned transportation. There's, I think last year somebody had estimated the Valley needs $4 billion in road improvements over the next few years. What role can you and the federal government play in achieving some of that revenue?
Well, funny you should ask. I just met with Jacob Snow today with the Regional Transportation Commission, mm-hmm. who oversees a lot of those projects.
Right.
And I asked that question. Are we talking $4 billion or are we talking $9 billion?
Yeah.
And, of course, he thinks that we're closer to $8 or $9 billion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some of the things that we are doing is I have been very, very vocal that we should take the I-15 corridor mm-hmm. south of Las Vegas into California and work with California mm-hmm. and provide some dedicated lanes where I think folks would choose. They could choose to take a couple of the lanes that are free
mm-hmm.
or they could pay
mm-hmm.
To take the other lanes in the form of a toll. Again, it has to be optional,
mm-hmm.
not a requirement,
right.
but an option. That could free up $1 billion
mm-hmm.
or so.
Yeah.
Another one is your hometown of Boulder City. We're trying to find ways to fund the bypass around Boulder City. That's
mm-hmm.
probably $500 million, another possible optional way is for people to take a toll around Boulder or go through Boulder,
mm-hmm.
so there could be a choice. So we're looking at ways to help. The federal government doesn't have a whole lot of extra money,
right?
So we're trying to be very creative in mm-hmm. what we're doing now. Some other things that I'm working on is the resort corridor. The mornings, about 60% of the traffic is employees.
Mm-hmm.
Afternoon, it's 40-some percent. Trying to find some additional incentives for the employees mm-hmm. to help with their expenses in using mass transit to help, which would free up other dollars. So we're trying to help the families, especially with the cost of fuel.
Mm-hmm.
But those are some of the things that we're working on.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a mass transit system is far long overdue.
One of the challenges we have is that we're still the Wild West, and we mm-hmm. like to drive our car wherever we go, and we like to park as closely as possible. So we need to find some incentives to help change that culture. That's why I've been working to try to come up with ways to help the employees
mm-hmm.
Commute to work, carpooling, whatever it is, to help them reduce their costs, but also some of the congestion. And we got you know, the 40,000 hotel rooms, mm-hmm. give or take, that right. are going to be coming online.
That's right.
There's a lot that has to be done.
Yeah. I mean, I read somewhere yesterday that over the next 15 years, $32 billion of investment is going to go into Las Vegas.
And unlike it anywhere in the world. It is. And we are truly the envy of the world, mm-hmm. and that's why we need to, again, provide some confidence and security to our families that there's no better place to live, mm-hmm. and that we're trying to do everything we can to you know, to mm-hmm. reduce health care costs and to help with their commute to work.
Right. One of the negative things we've seen recently in Vegas has been the foreclosure issue. I think, unfortunately, Vegas had the top line there in foreclosures for the nation for a while. Do you think the federal government should come in and help bail out some of the homeowners who may have made, you know, some poor decisions when it came to financing their homes?
Well, I've been meeting with the local lending institutions in Wells Fargo, mm-hmm. a number of other banks and credit unions, and I've been meeting with them nationally trying mm-hmm. to help find some solutions. We think, at least as of a few weeks ago, about 12,000 families, 12,000 homes mm-hmm. that may well be close to foreclosure or that are somehow in the prime, subprime market. Mm-hmm. We think there's probably another 12,000 or so that may well be investor-owned. As mm-hmm. you know, what happened is our resale values in about a year's time,
right.
like 02, 03, went up about 40%.
That's right.
So a lot of people rushed to buy, and a lot of investors came in. Mm-hmm. Well, my focus is to try to help the families.
Right.
An investor, and they take a risk.
Right.
That's a different deal.
Right.
So actually, yeah, I think we do have a role, and we're doing a number of things. I have legislation that's going to help in refinancing, mm-hmm. and just to kind of capsulize it so it's easy to understand for your readers. Right now, if you want to buy a new home and you're a first-time home buyer, there is monies available to help you low-interest loan to buy a home, mm-hmm. first-time home buyers. I have legislation that's going to expand that so families can refinance into that similar fund. Based upon your income, based
right.
upon your challenges, and that's one way mm-hmm. to help them refinance. Because what's happening is, there's this, a lot of these had a 3-year
right.
stepping stone,
yeah.
and now they're kicking in to higher mm-hmm. interest rates. So if we can find a way to help them, that's one thing that I'm doing. I'm also going to host a meeting. We're going to bring in numerous mortgage companies and banks to sit down with folks in the community to help find some solutions. So we legislatively are taking steps. There's a lot of abuse out there.
Mm-hmm.
There are some folks that really were taken advantage of. The fine print was so small that they didn't quite grasp, and nor did the person writing the loan mm-hmm. explain to them
right.
that they may be not even paying the full interest in the note,
yeah.
and they're being hit with huge increases. We think that's 3-5%
mm-hmm.
that literally were predatory lending.
Mm-hmm.
So we're stepping up the penalties on that. But mm-hmm. we're very aggressively helping families in Nevada, and we're doing, again, the changing or providing for them some refinanceability and also having a number of meetings to help them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And do you think this is really a short-term problem, though, with the growth in Vegas, with all the mega properties coming on and the workers they're going to need? I mean, this can't go on for much longer, don't you think?
I touched upon it earlier. We've weathered a lot of storms.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember when houses in Boulder City
right.
were 16% interest,
yeah.
and we thought, oh, my gosh. And we turned it around, and I believe that this is a short-term but I also think there's no better place to be
yeah.
than in Nevada
yeah.
during this current storm,
mm-hmm.
perfect storm, because we have the best customer service in the world, so people are going to travel. They
mm-hmm.
enjoy our community, so I think we're in the right place, and I'm convinced it's a short term.
Okay.
And again, we've been through these before, and we've come back stronger.
I'm
working with another member from California. He's a Democrat, Sam Farr,
mm-hmm.
from Monterey.
Okay.
Great place.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite places
yeah.
to visit. And we're working together with a travel and tour caucus.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we mentioned the gaming caucus a
right.
while ago. This is actually a little bit more global, because not only is it gaming, but it's the Disneylands, it's the New Orleans,
right.
it's the cities. I mean, we're working together to try to capture some of the international travel mm-hmm. that we are losing right now.
Right.
Now, a lot of times I bring up travel and tour, and some of my colleagues think we're talking about, you know, the Winnebago
right.
to the back of the pickup, which is a part of this
yes,
as well.
Yeah.
Because travel and tour, specifically the tour side, is 1, 2, and 3 in every state mm-hmm. economy and revenues.
Right.
Of course, a lot of states don't know it,
mm-hmm.
but we know, we see the revenues.
Sure.
And if you look at the travel and tour industry, it's in the top 10 businesses
right.
in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So we're working together, Democrats and Republicans. We're trying to you know put an emphasis on the importance of travel and tour. Because you turn on the TV and you see the ticker tape on Wall Street, mm-hmm. you don't see travel and tour.
No.
Now, individually you do.
Right. If you know a company.
We are bringing the industry together because travel and tour also means business travel.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough to get into the U.S. right now for business
mm-hmm.
travel or for tourism.
Mm-hmm.
So we're working on trying to streamline the visa process to get more international visitors here. We're working to bring the industry together, whether you're car rental business
mm-hmm.
or whether you're a tour operator or the Grand Canyon
mm-hmm.
or you're Las Vegas, we have a lot of challenges. So we're excited. We have over 100 members that are part of this Travel and Tour Caucus, and we've been working on the visa, trying to streamline it. We're trying to also elevate the prominence of travel and tour in the different departments
mm-hmm.
of the federal government. We want to make sure that we're engaged with the debate on Homeland Security.
Mm-hmm.
And let me brag about McCarran. We have lines because we have a lot of visitors,
right.
but we move people.
That's true.
And we're a model of an airport mm-hmm. that takes care of its customers. But also, we do not jeopardize security. We actually enhance it.
Mm-hmm.
So through the Travel and Tour Caucus, we are working with our airports and TSA to make sure that TSA is resilient. And I remember with McCarran, when TSA first came in, TSA didn't get that we had the CES show, or they didn't
right.
understand that we had the National Finals Rodeo.
Right.
So they weren't gearing up.
Mm-hmm.
You take CES, well, there's a lot of laptops and a lot of electronics
right.
coming
yeah.
through. And you take the rodeo, there's a lot of cowboys and
yeah.
bringing in their equipment. So we worked really close with TSA. They now gear up quite well.
Mm-hmm.
There's still challenges, but
right.
they work with the convention authority. They work with McCarran. So we have the proper staffing at different times. So that's something else we're working on. So Congress can play a role in these areas.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very excited about that opportunity, and I think it's good for Nevada and stronger.
Okay. Well, Congressman John Porter, thanks for joining us on the Global Gaming Business Podcast. It's great to see you, and good luck in your election in November. We think your place in Congress is very important for the gaming industry.
Thank you.
Thank you for choosing the Global Gaming Business Podcast. If you want to learn about any of the issues discussed on this show, go to our website at ggbmagazine.com or subscribe to the industry's most comprehensive newsletter, Global Gaming Business Weekly. We'll see you next week for another edition of the Global Gaming Business Podcast.